We challenge our people to be mentors, to change the mindset of you're not just cutting grass and pulling weeds, that you're helping mentor that student next to you, that student worker who's working with us, and you're going to be poured into their life. And you never know, in 5 years, they come back and say it was you that kept them in school.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
And welcome to another episode of the Your Living Brand Live Show. Welcome back, my wonderful audience. It's Ben Baker coming to you again this week. And I just want to say thank you for coming back week after week, for emailing me at ben@yourbrandmarketing.com, for finding me on LinkedIn at Your Brand Marketing. And I love the fact that you guys tell me your ideas, what you like, what you're interested in, what your challenges are. And I try to bring all of that to the table and find great people to interview to be able to answer the questions that you guys have, because that's what this is all about. This week, I have a pleasure of bringing in Jeff McManus. He is the author of a book called Growing Weeders into Leaders. He spent 22 years at Ole Miss. Yes, the University of Mississippi. And we're talking about the guy who is the head of the horticulture department and just an incredible guy. So, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ben. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know what? I have enjoyed our conversations off air. I've enjoyed, you know, listening to you. And by the way, I get your weekly newsletter and I love it. There is always a great tip in there. There's always something interesting there, some great stories. I love the story you had one a couple of weeks ago about we put people first, but do we? We'll probably get into that, but I'll definitely put a note to make sure that I add that into the show notes because it was a great conversation. But before we start, I want to let you give a little bit of a history about who you are. Who is Jeff McManus? What do you do? What brought you to Ole Miss? And what are you guys doing today?
Well, thanks again for having me on the show. The easy way to think of Jeff McManus is I grow plants, I grow people, and I grow ideas. That's what Jeff does. I just try to grow things. And what I have found is if I grow people really well, then they'll take care of growing the plants here and grow in a beautiful environment for us all to live in and recruit in. So that's a big part of what I do is I used to focus a lot on growing plants and so much more of the technical part. And of course, as I got better and people who work with me got better, I did less of that. And I worked on growing them and growing their knowledge so that they became the experts and they became the ones, the go-to people. So in essence, I just keep growing. I just want to keep outgrowing what I'm doing and add more value to what I'm doing here. So we've started some interesting programs that have helped our leaders grow. And we've actually now even started teaching other schools how to do these programs to help them grow their people and to get a better campus and a better product, so to speak. So we're not content by just making Ole Miss the most beautiful campus in America. And we've won that national championship 5 times of being the most beautiful, but we also are trying to help others. We help private companies, we help others, show them how we create that system so that others can grow great campuses, great landscapes, and great people. So that's a little bit about what we're doing now is continually to help others.
And I love all that. I mean, it's sitting there and going, okay, it's our people. Yes, I'm in the horticulture business. Yes, there's technology that comes with it. Yes, there's to figure out the right plants and the right grass and you know what's going to grow in what season and all that. But having great people who can implement, people that can understand why you're doing what you're doing and be part of the organization and realize that what you do is far more than just planting plants. You are an incredible recruitment part of the university. I mean, I remember, I've got a second year engineering student and I talked to him. I talked to all my friends. In high school, everybody goes on these tours. You go to these tours, you go to these different universities, and some of them, you just sit there and go, wow. And you look at the campus and you look how clean it is and how bright it is and the green grass and the beautiful buildings and all that kind of stuff. And it gives you a feeling. And it's just either, I want to be here. I want to be part of this. And I think that that's part of the story that a lot of people don't miss is that how we present ourselves, whether it's university, whether it's an organization, whether it's a personal person, has a lot of how people see us. And when you first started at Ole Miss, before the five championships, what was the campus like when you first got there? I mean, was it in great shape when you took over, or were you starting from something that was less than what it is today?
Well, it was interesting. I started in 2000, and the big reason they came and found me, I was working in Miami at a five-star resort and had some ties to the Southeast and Auburn, where I went to school. But they actively came after and looked for someone who could take them through this growth process of beautifying the campus. A donor had given a lot of money to the university to plant beautiful plants. And he came back over 6 months later to discover a lot of the plants had died. And the areas did not look any better. There was weeds. It was one of those terrible stories. And so you got to know where you're going, right? As the organization wanted to change that image, they knew that there's a statistic out there, 62% prospective college students will decide if they're coming to your college campus based on the looks. The way the landscaping looks is a big part of that, the buildings and how clean it is. And they wanted that image. They knew they were recruiting against some of the top schools in the country. And so that's important. So they knew where they wanted to go. So when they came after me, they were saying, hey, how important is a good first impression? Well, coming out of the five-star resort business, that's what the front gate, you sell the room and the price of the room with the entry into the gate. It's the wow, this place, I'm going to pay a couple of $1,000s to stay here or whatever it is. And so that was important to understand what was it that the big picture that we needed to get. The hard part, not understanding what the big vision was to create the wow, to create that unique experience, is to get people to buy in, to get the state in mindset employee who says, you know, I'm here for my pension. I'm not really here to produce anything. And so I'm going to do as little as I can. And so that's where you got to become a very good salesperson. And you've got to become a really challenge me in my leadership and how to get people to buy in, because I knew the vision from my bosses and who had recruited me. And so now I had to sell that in a way they understood so that they wanted to be a part of that as well. So we always say we went from last place to first place. We had one of the lowest budgets in the conferences. We had the fewest employees in the conferences, but we have one of the largest campuses. And yet we were able to go with the same staff that was in last place. Within 2 years, we won our first national championship. So we had a big flip really quick. And so that was nice. And boy, I tell you, that helped the credibility of our department probably more than anything was getting that national award.
And what's making me think about this is that you were lucky. You had a senior leadership, or I'm assuming you had a leadership that was bought into a vision of a more beautiful campus. They could understand why it was important. They understood why it was putting a top-notch person in terms of leadership. They understood what it was like to put money towards beautification. They realized they needed to change how their brand looked to be able to compete in the marketplace. But then you had on the other side, you had a group of people that have been doing this job for sometimes years, if not decades, that had been underserved, probably had been undervalued to a point, and they didn't see what they did matter. So how did you, as a new leader, go into that situation and be able to change that mindset? Because without those people believing that what they did mattered, that what they did was important, what they did made the campus a better campus, I'm not sure that those five championships ever would have happened. So how do you go about doing that? Because changing a mindset is a really difficult thing to do.
It is. You're absolutely right. And the first thing I had to do is I talked to some wise people before I set foot on campus as my first day. Like, I'd already accepted the job, but I hadn't got here yet. I started asking leaders who had done something similar to what I was going into and asked them. And the answer I got back repeatedly was, take an inventory of what you have, both in people and in plants. And then they added in equipment, take an inventory of what you have, know what you have. He says, observe it, watch it, and pay attention to the rhythm. And that was wise advice, because instead of coming in trying to create change right away, and there was a lot of pressure to create change really quick, is I had to observe my people. It didn't take long to see who was bought in to doing something bigger versus those that were really just there for a paycheck and a pension. And Then once I felt like I had a little bit of understanding of what they were doing, is I showed gratitude for what they were doing, right? I appreciated them. You said that, underserving, undervalued. My role was to encourage, right? To be an encourager. But then to start setting a vision to what we want to do. And my vision was not super complicated. It was, let's be the best of the best, right? Let's be the best of the best. I didn't say we're going to win national championships or any of that, but I would say, let's be the best of the best. Let's be one of the prettiest campuses in America. And we just looked at that. And some people just kind of just stared. They don't jump up and down and rah-rah and everything. But you could see the mind shifting with our staff. A lot of people bought in earlier and some never did. Some self-selected out. And I even tell the message today of we're recruiting people who are going to cure cancer one day. We're recruiting people who are going to be a part of the space program. When we recruit them, we're a small part of that because we help get them here. They're going to get that education and they're going to do great things. That was the bigger purpose of what our department did. And then I realized there's a secret weapon of getting other people to come share that same message. So I would bring in what we would call our all-stars or our VIPs, our celebrities. I would bring in our head football coaches who in the Southeast, they worship football, right? I mean, that's the God.
I was about to say, that's almost a God.
That's right. And if you can get that head coach to come in and tell the team how important they are to recruiting. Well, I had a kid, a young guy who worked for me. He goes, after it was all the coach left and everything, he goes, I hate putting out mulch and pine needles. He goes, I just hate it. He goes, but if it helps coach recruit the top players, I'm all in it. And so getting that deeper purpose and that buy-in really helps in getting others to help say the message that you're saying really helped as well. So we invite celebrities, so to speak, to come in, our celebrities, our local celebrities, our coaches, our professors, to come in and to tell our staff how important their role is to their job.
And that's so important because you said something very early that said, we want to be the best of the best. But being the best of the best, what does that mean to somebody who's never been the best of the best? It says, okay, I'm aspiring to this mountaintop somewhere in the distance that I probably can't even see the peak, let alone figure out how I'm going to climb it. It really doesn't mean that much to somebody. But if you can make it tangible and say, listen, because of the work you're doing, we're going to be able to bring in top line astronaut, physicists, football players, you name it, and be able to elevate this level of this university. And you, as the horticulture department, have a place in this and be able to recruit the right people because you make them feel welcome and valued within the school because the school is a beautiful place to be. That is something that people can hang their hat on. That's something that you can drive deep into somebody's soul, and it gives them a purpose and a reason to get up every morning to be able to go out and do what they do, especially if it's cold and damp and rainy, or as you said, they're mulching and they hate mulching or whatever. It says, I'm doing this because, and I'm doing this stuff that I really don't like to do, but I can see what this is going to do for us. And I think that that's extremely powerful. But let's take one step further. And we talked about this weeks ago. It says, you also sat there and said, okay, we want to be the best of the best. And you took people on field trips, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
So talk about the field trips, because I think that that's really something that can give people an idea of, okay, we want to be the best of the best, but let me show you, not tell you.
You're absolutely right. Because as to your point, people don't know what that means. When they have not been out of the state or not been even out of the county, so to speak, very often, and they haven't had those experiences. You and I travel a lot. We know what Disney World looks like. We know what great resorts look like. Not so much our team, right? So when I came in and I said, we want to be the Disney to the universities, we want to have that, they shook their head, but I don't know that they all really understood. So we would load up as a lot of times the leaders in the group, the supervisors, and we would go look at other college campuses. We would go look at resorts. We would go and let them make those first impressions. I want to tell you a quick story. I had a guy who was one of my supervisors. I was really frustrated because every time they would go on lunch break, they would just leave their job site unattended. Like it was like, well, we'll be back in an hour. We'll clean it up then. But there were grass clippings everywhere and it was just sloppy, like no tidiness. And so if somebody came on campus during that lunch break and they saw that, it was not a good first impression. Well, we went to a major school and they had done something very similar, but it was even worse. They had not cut the grass in a while. They had reasons why, and it just looked terrible. The grass was, clippings were everywhere. It made a really bad impression on our team. When we got in the van, that one person goes, "That grass looked terrible." And it made such a first impression on him that he was able to transition that back home, back to where he worked, that every lunch break, he made sure we were cleaned up, we were tidy. So it saved me 20 years of pulling my hair out because he got it. He got it in that one trip. It was worth whatever we paid to put everybody in the van and put them in hotels. It was well worth it.
Hi, everyone. Do you want to be your best customer's vendor of choice? Do you want to cement relationships with them, add real value, and gain insights that your competitors just can't get? Go to podcasthostforhire.com. That's podcasthostforhire.com. And let's work together to make you the value vendor of choice.
I remember a story of a friend of mine. I grew up with lots of people in the restaurant industry. And this guy I knew had an employee that was frustrating him because he never wiped the tables properly. You know, something as simple as never wiped the properly. He said, "Come over here." I said, "What? See that small family? Look at the toddler." And the toddler is sitting there playing on the table. And all of a sudden, the toddler puts his hand in a pile full of ketchup and then starts putting it towards his face. This guy never left a table dirty ever again. And it was the owner of the restaurant never had to say another word because all of a sudden he says, "Oh my God, my job is not to wipe the tables. It's to keep people clean and safe." And if people understand what their purpose is, what they're trying to achieve and what the greater goal is, they tend to become far more self-motivated. So you have a system you call GROW. I'd love to have you explain GROW.
Well, GROW is just a simple way for me to remember and to help develop our team. So G is that greatness. It's that great teams. It's great communications. Anything we cultivate greatness, all these things of greatness that we want to be the best. And we just simply say greatness, right? And so the R is so much about being resilient, raising the results. We want to be very focused on, when we say resilient, we want to be helping each other. We want to be tough. We want to adapt and overcome all those challenges that you run, Mother Nature gives you. So we think of R as resilient a lot of ways. And then the O is always opportunities to shine, opportunities to grow our people. That's one that I really focus on developing people, just really growing. And so there's ways to give them opportunities to shine on their own, to develop their leadership skills and to show us that they want to be the best. And then there's the W, which is the winning attitude. A lot of times we talk about you are who you are because of the people you hang around with. And winners hang around with winners. And we've heard that saying, you become like the five people you hang around with. So we try to influence our people and bring in people to influence them on podcasts, on videos, on books. And so we do a big session L2L, leader to leader, where we, on the clock, we're growing our people. We bring them in out of the field and we're intentionally growing them on the inside. We want that to grow. So that's GROW kind of evolves, but it's a simple four-step process that we use just to grow our people. In that, let me just share this. We came up with a landscape creed, and that creed of our core values was that winning attitude. We know who we are. And our core values, that really became a solidifying part of our whole organization that I never had even thought about having core values in a landscape creed before. But we did it about 10 years ago, and it's absolutely made my job easier, fun, I guess funner and more exciting to have that landscape creed. I put that in that wisdom part, that walking with winners.
And I would say that creed probably leads to being able to create better opportunities for your people, because I truly believe that we need to give people the room to grow on their own. As leaders, we need to make safe space for people to fail, become more resilient, learn from their mistakes, and become better. And to be able to make sure that we build those leaders of tomorrow and be able to be the transition. So how do you go about enabling that? How do you enable giving people the opportunity to have opportunities and to grow that next generation of leaders?
we did a lot of mentoring, and we still do a lot of mentoring. We challenge our people to be mentors, to change the mindset of you're not just cutting grass and pulling weeds, that you're helping mentor that student next to you, that student worker who's working with us, and you're going to be poured into their life. And you never know, in 5 years, they come back and say it was you that kept them in school. And so we do that. We make sure people know, even on a one-on-one basis, that their role's important. I knew that was clicking when one of my guys, who used to be one of my biggest troublemakers, became one of my best mentors. And he says, I realize I may be mentoring my next boss. He may be my next supervisor. That was the connection. I'm like, he's got it. And that's what his role is he wants to be the best mentor on campus. He feels like he's adding tremendous value, which he is, to our organization by doing that. But allowing people the freedom to think of themselves as coaches, of mentors, that was one thing I had to learn. Let them think that way. Empower them. The other is, unless it's this guy who's spraying chemicals, you're okay with everybody making mistakes, right?
Of course.
The guy spraying chemicals, we don't want him making any mistakes. So you got to let them make mistakes, and then you can't beat them up when they tell you they made the mistake, and you can't call them out, right? Okay, what did we learn from it? Let's grow from it. Let's learn from it. And then let's make sure we take a picture of it so we always can put it in our training that we learned. We don't have to put Jeff's name by it, that Jeff did it, but we try to learn from it. We do things even today. We'll not do things. And so we try to take a picture of it to remember it.
I'll send you a picture, because early this spring, I was getting rid of some weeds and I used the wrong weed killer, and my grass has got great big brown patches in it right now. It'll come back, but it looks beautiful right now. I got great big brown patches all over my grass, and everybody knows that Ben's got black thumbs.
Yeah, we've done that a few times. Yeah, I mean, I understand that. So, or we'll scalp the grass. We'll put the mower decks too low to the ground, and it looks like space aliens have come in because we get these round circles in the turf. Hey, that's going to happen. But get on the mower. Get on that big 11-foot deck mower. And I mean, it's a $84,000 piece of equipment. Get out of your comfort zone. And so it's amazing. And we're getting ready to recognize some of our legends, landscape legends, in a hall of fame. And one of our gentlemen who's going into it says, I remember when I first came here, he goes, I was scared to death to weed eat. He goes, I was just going to make a mistake. And I even had one of the guys who was mentoring him came in and told us, we need to fire him. He's not any good. He just follows me and he weed eats, weed whacks everything that I just weed whack. Well, he was scared to death. He thought he was going to make a mistake. So what we had to do is one, change his mentor, and then walk him slowly, invest into him. Instead of assuming and thinking he knew, we had to slow down. And I'm telling you, he became our best weed eater guy. He became our best edger guy. And he was scared to death of running lawnmowers, and he got over that fear. But as I had to empower the supervisors, hey, it's okay to slow down, because we're very production oriented, fast, fast, fast. It used to take us 10 days to mow the campus. We've got it down to 4 days now, but we're trying to get it down to 3, trying to get it down to 2. It's always move, move, move. And so you've got to give your team freedom to slow down. It's okay to stop and walk with them and show them these things. And that takes me. That takes me having to change my management style tremendously.
Well, it's giving people the ability to gain the confidence that they need, because we all learn sometimes. There was always a time where any of us, no matter what it is in our life, were terrible at something. We were always awful at something. And some of us, that led to self-doubt. Some of that led to trepidation. Some of that led to fear. Some of us just sat there, rolled up our sleeves and said, hey, I'm going to try it. But as a good leader, you understand who are the people that are fearful and who are the people that are going to roll up their sleeves, and be able to help both of them be better at what they do. Because both of them are going to make mistakes, but they're going to make different mistakes. And I think as leaders, we tend to try to treat everybody the same. And people are the X factor. Every human being is different. Every person learns differently. And we have to give people the opportunity to learn at their own speed.
That's right. What you just said is very important, because people learn different ways. I would say 90% of our team learns by watching and doing, hands-on. But that still didn't stop us from creating some class content in our landscape university, so that they have to sit down for 5 or 10 minutes and take a class to be able to make sure we cover everything they need to know so they're successful. But we know the best learning is going to go on out in the field when they're matched up with someone and they're showing them how to do it. So you're right. Some are very visual, some very hands-on, some like just reading. But you got to pay attention to that as leaders, or at least provide all the opportunities for them to learn that.
Let's talk about transition, because there's always change in every organization. People come, people go, people get promoted, realize that's not where they want to be and end up somewhere else. How do you sit there and help people through those transitions and make sure that as they're being elevated, or as they're being moved or being brought from one department to another, that they understand that the skills that got them there may not be the skills that they need to move to the next level, and be able to allow them to gain those new skills in a way that allows them to be comfortable and confident?
No, that's a good question. And because the technical knowledge that they were really good in and what they used a lot in to be so successful is not what they're going to always use to lead people or to do more, to start organizing large properties and knowing how to manage those. So it's good if you can already have in the conversation, and this is what our leader to leader does a lot, is go ahead and start preparing people mentally for the big picture. We do a calendar every year, and that calendar has everything that we do in it. It's a perpetual calendar. And so in the maintenance side, it's pretty routine. And so that's a roadmap to help set them up for success. We know in January, these are the key factors. We've even organized it by different teams on what, who's doing what. And so that gives them a big picture to see that, okay, we're going to be cutting this, we're going to be pruning this, we're going to be doing this, and this is the window to do that. But then there's the soft skills or the people skills. And that part is the part where you got to make sure that they can lead and have good chemistry with their people. How do they earn the respect? Hopefully they've already gained that respect, but then keep that respect. So you talk a lot about trust. You talk about how they lead by example, how important that is, that they can't just sit in the truck and expect everybody to work for them. And while the air conditioner is running in the truck and they're staying cool. No, you're a part of the team. You're working. And how do you handle the changes when a college professor comes swinging their, you know, they're waving their hands at you and saying, we're taking an exam inside the room. We need y'all to quit making noise. How do you handle that? So how do you adapt and overcome? And then to stay that next part of growth, if you quit growing, you're going to do what plants do, and that's you're going to die. Right? You're going to start rotting. You're just going to be living off your past knowledge, your past experiences, and that may not be what you need to make the best decision. So we try to stay fresh. We go through different programs. We've even started our own new program now called Landscape Champions. And what we do is it helps bring our team into an awareness. So one of the things that's big for us is to have an eye for detail. Do you see the little things? So those little things make the big picture. So training people have an eye for detail. You mentioned seeing that ketchup on the table. How do they see those weeds before our guest sees them? How do they see the different things that we want them to see, the low-hanging limb that's going to be a problem in about 3 weeks if we don't go ahead and trim it this week? Those type of things. And we'll run them through a program. What does it mean to lead by example? That program has been helpful because it brings a new awareness and they see things not as a worker, but now as a leader, as a supervisor, and that's been very good for us.
And I think by training people to think beyond the day-to-day and the, you know, and the minutiae of what they do on a daily basis and start thinking on a more global basis,
yes,
it allows for the entire team to be more successful.
Agree. I mean, we're in a global market. Here in little old Oxford, Mississippi, we're in a global market. And then when I say that is we talk about, well, who's our competition? Well, our competition, yeah, is the SEC schools, but it's also everybody. And people have a choice. They can come here or they can go wherever they want to go. And not only that, our competition's right down the street. The company that wants to come in and do the landscaping here. So our staff need to know we're being competitive. It's a competitive market. We've got to stay fresh. We got to show our bosses that we're the best to go to. When you have a problem on campus, you want to call landscaping, right? Or the Hort team. You want to call Jeff, those guys, and get them to fix it. And we don't have to rely on somebody down the street.
They trust you.
Amen.
So let's bring this home because, you know, there's been a great conversation, but I want to be valuable of your time and my audience's time. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you? Because people are going to know the book is called Growing Weeders into Leaders. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. So people need to find that on Amazon because that's a great book. But how do people get in touch with you?
Real simple, just jeffmcmanus.com. That's my website. Of course, I'm on LinkedIn, and I'm on Twitter as well.
Awesome. So here's the last question. It's a question I ask everybody before I let them out the door. When you leave a meeting or you get off the stage and you get in your car and you drive home, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
I want them to think not really about me, but I want them to be thinking about what book, what podcast am I going to be listening to help me grow? If I can get them to be thinking about, and if they don't do that, if they're not challenged to be growing, that they are thinking that. Yeah, Jeff may have said that, and I think that's important, but I see a value in growing myself. I've got to set the example and grow myself to become the best leader, the best individual I can be. And that to me is a, sort of my message, is to grow others and to grow ideas and get growth happening, because good things happen with growth. Bad things happen when we stop growing.
Well, thank you for helping people flourish in their minds and getting rid of the weeds in their brains. I appreciate it, Jeff. Thank you for all your wisdom. You've been a phenomenal guest. I got to find a way to get down to Ole Miss and take a walk through the grass and take my shoes off and appreciate your work.
Well, we would love to have you anytime, Ben. We have 7 days a year. We have these little things called football games, and we pack out the stadium. We pack out our grove with probably 50, 60,000 people in this 10-acre spot where they tailgate. We'd love to have you come down and experience that sometime. It is the number one tailgating spot in America.
Sounds amazing. We're going to have to find a way to get me to come down there to do a keynote or something to get that experience, because I would love it. Jeff, thank you for being an incredible guest. Thank you for giving such wisdom to my audience, and thank you for being you.
Thank you, Ben. My pleasure.
This has been the YourLivingBrand.live show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at YourLivingBrand.live and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?